Hello, everyone. Today on the podcast, I have an amazing guest, Katie Tracy. She's a certified professional organizer and simplicity expert. Now, Katie says she's always had a knack for organizing, and she started her professional organization business, Simple Spaces, in 2010. She's worked with individuals and families to help clear out the stuff that cluttered their homes and their lives. While doing that work, she's learned that organization is so much more than just about the stuff. It's about relationships, emotions, the past, and the future. And her passion is now to connect the worlds of professional organization and mental health so that clients can clear both physical and mental clutter. So, without any further ado, let's have a listen in to how clearing and decluttering can affect our mental health. Hi, I'm Kate Boyle, and welcome to the Mind Movement Health podcast. Each week, I'll be bringing you health information from diet and lifestyle to movement and nutrition. My aim is to bring you bite-sized pieces of information that you can instigate into your everyday life to change your health. Hi, Katie. Thanks for coming on to the show. I'm super excited to have you on today.
Great. Thanks for having me.
No worries. Now, let's dive in. Can you share with listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Absolutely. So about 10 years ago, I was a stay-at-home mom, and I was pondering getting back into the workforce. And I thought to myself, of course, I was cleaning out my closet as I was thinking about this. I thought to myself, oh, I wish I could get paid to organize people's closets. And a light bulb went off and I said, well, let me look into this. I must be the first person to think to do this. And I found that it had actually been an industry that's around for about 30 years at that point. And I was the latest person to join in. And I decided, yeah, I'm going to make this into a career. So I started professional organizing about 10 years ago. And more recently, as I was working with clients and learning more about what they were dealing with in their homes, I realized that emotions were coming up a lot in the physical stuff that we were clearing out. And that started shifting my business into making this connection between our mental health and the physical stuff that we have at home.
Yeah, well, I love that you bring up the mental health aspect. And I know that I touched on it with you before, but, you know, we've had quite a few lockdowns here in Melbourne, you know, with COVID, as I'm sure a lot of places have. And I know one of the things that I did was I went to clearing out stuff. One, you know, in my brain, I thought, oh, I've got time. This is something I can do. Mm-hmm. But two as well, you know, speaking to other people that have done it and that as well, they're like, oh, you're just trying to control things. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I probably was, because everything felt so out of control at the time. So
absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. And that's what draws us to organizing, is that control that it gives us over that physical environment. So what you were feeling, a lot of were feeling throughout, especially the past year, that they just wanted to bring some order, some control over some part of their life that they could control.
Yeah, because it did feel like there wasn't much we were in control of during that time.
Exactly.
Now, can you share with us a little bit about how clutter itself can impact us?
Oh, absolutely. So the most common things that people call me and they say, it's not, I have too much stuff, I need to clear out my garage. They say, I feel overwhelmed. I don't know where to start. A lot of what they're saying doesn't have that much to do with the stuff. Obviously, it gets to that down the line, but that initial contact is always about how they're feeling about the stuff. And that's really where that mental connection comes in. And it doesn't have to be, you know, I have a storage unit that's filled with things and I don't know what's in it, or my basement's packed and I can't make it into order by myself. A lot of times it's, I come home from work and I just feel frustrated that I have to shuffle things around to make dinner. Or the kids come home from school and they drop things and then they can't find them the next morning. It's all of these everyday occurrences that we're interacting with our stuff and we're feeling frustrated and overwhelmed. And organization can help us feel, again, more in control of that.
Yeah. And I know for me, it's just, it's probably part of a mindset thing too. But I know, like, if I see a big pile of dishes and it's spreading out along the bench, I can't focus as well on other things because my eyes just keep going back to all that pile of things out and about. So I find it a bit frustrating and then really hard to focus on other things too.
Right. You know, what you say is interesting though, because you may feel that way when you see the dishes or the toys or whatever it might be, papers, but the people who live with you may not. And a lot of the people that I work with feel this from either their roommates or their spouses or their family members, coworkers, that what's clutter to me and disorganization to me isn't clutter or disorganization to the other people who use the space. Right? Do you experience that?
For sure. And it's really interesting you bring that up because the dishes will say annoy me, but if I put like a pile of magazines or something on the table, that doesn't annoy me because into my mind it's in a pile, but my husband is like, why is that on the table? That pile of magazines can go away, yet he doesn't care about the dishes.
Right. So that really speaks to the subjectivity of organizing, that it's not the same for everybody. What we need from our space and from our stuff really depends on who we are as individuals. And that's fine if you're living by yourself and you're in control of all of those things, but most of us are interacting with other people, whether it's at home or in a shared space or at a workplace, where we have to compromise where we're comfortable with that level of organization, disorganization, stuff out, stuff away, those kinds of things.
Yeah. And I would assume for some people that's going to be a lot harder, you know, depending on what it is, just as you said.
Exactly. But the subjectivity of being organized is also really important because it allows us to take our own needs and expectations and fit them into what works best for us. You know, a lot of people who are very creative, for example, and are maybe working on, you know, a big art project or a writing project or whatever it might be, they feel like having everything out helps foster their creativity. Whereas someone who's very analytical might say, well, that just creates visual clutter and I can't concentrate. So we have to appreciate the individual of each person and what works best for them.
Yeah. And I think sort of, as you said, it's kind of a give and take sometimes, whether or not it's in your household or in the workplace or whatever, and just finding that compromise between people too.
Absolutely.
And can you just explain, are there long-term effects of clutter? Like how can that long, you know, if we've got lots of clutter, how, you know, long-term wise, can that affect us?
Absolutely. So we look at organization in two different ways. We look at situational disorganization, and that's where something in our life happens that creates chaos for us. And this could be the birth of a child, a move, a new job, COVID, where we suddenly have these different life circumstances. And because things aren't flowing the way they normally do, we feel disorganized. So that's one kind. The other is chronic disorganization, which is exactly as it sounds. Disorganization has always been part of our lives. We feel like it's going to be part of our lives. We make efforts, but we slide back. That's chronic disorganization. And that sounds like what you're asking about here, where people just have this disorganization for a long time. And that can be really disheartening because you're putting effort into making changes to organize things, but they're not coming into line. Or you're frustrated because you know that there's an easier way to get things done or an easier way for your home to function. So there's definitely those long-term impacts where you're feeling that frustration every day. And just being disorganized in general makes us spend more money because we're buying duplicates of things that we can't find. So we go out and buy another one. Maybe you're losing bills and then you're paying a late fee on a credit card or something. So that's another financial implication. There's the frustration of things take longer to do than they could. Again, like if you have to move all that stuff to cook dinner, that's a time cost. That's costing you your time. There's also social conflict that disorganization can cause, that, you know, if the dishes bother you, but they don't bother your spouse, that might create a conflict in your home. So there's all of these aspects of being disorganized really impact us long-term.
Yeah. And I was going to say, I know too, like, I've been friends with people where they're like, oh, I'd love you to come around to my house, but it's just too disorder, like, you know, there's stuff everywhere, and they get almost embarrassed that they don't want you to come around and see that too. So
exactly. So that's another social impediment that's caused by disorganization.
Yeah. So it's definitely present. Now, if we want to start to clear some clutter, what can people sort of expect? Maybe feelings wise, you know, are people very different in sort of getting enthusiastic about it, or, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So in the beginning, a lot of people feel that overwhelm, frustration, maybe anger at whoever they live with, at themselves. How did I let it get this way? Why didn't I do this sooner? But as we go through the organizing process, I constantly hear clients say, I feel lighter. I feel energized. I feel motivated. Oh, we did this little bit. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to do a little bit more. So we definitely see the shift in how people feel as they go through the organizing process.
Yeah. And if somebody is kind of like, maybe they've been told by other people, look, you really need to do a clean out. Maybe it's their spouse going, you know what, it's about time, but they're still really feeling resistant towards it. Is there anything that you could begin with that would make it easier? Or is there any advice that you can kind of give people to maybe work through that?
Absolutely. So it's very difficult to encourage someone else to get organized. You have to be ready yourself to make those decisions, because it's a very individual subjective experience. One place that I really encourage people to work on is their bedrooms. If they're looking for a common ground to work on, the bedroom is where we start our day. It's where we end our day. And that should be a place that we can escape from everything else. We want to walk into that room and just feel like, okay, this is my peace. This is my place. There's nothing to do. There's nothing I need to feel here. And having an organized bedroom allows you to start your day that way and end your day that way. So it might just be the first day you just clean off the top of your nightstand and you make decisions about where that stuff is. And maybe the next day it's the top of your dresser, or the next week, whatever your schedule is. But just starting slowly and making the progress towards that. And knowing that it's a process, that getting organized is not just, I'm going to do it and it's done. Because that's not, it's like cleaning your house. Like, you can't do it once and then your house is always clean. You have to keep up with it with maintenance. And organizing is the same way. You know, eventually laundry is going to get done. And does it get dropped back in your bedroom? Well, then you have to work on the laundry, you know, like, so you have to take those steps to keep that space feeling organized and light, and like it's an escape from other stressors in our lives.
Yeah, I think that's a great sort of tip and place to start, because I hadn't thought about that. But when I think of cleaning out, the first place I tend to go is my wardrobe and just start cleaning out clothes and stuff. So
it's like your most intimate space. Exactly. And it is amazing that once you start, the momentum that you get, you know, you clean off that nightstand top and then you're like, oh, that literally took me 10 minutes. Maybe I'll do the drawer now. Just, you know, and that'll take me 5 minutes. And it's instead of looking at it like, oh, it's going to take me all day or all weekend to do this room. Well, you have 5 minutes. What can you do in 5 minutes? What can you make a decision about to donate or to toss or to move somewhere else that it's supposed to be?
Yeah. And is there an acceptable kind of level of clutter, or is it just very individual of, you know, what you can put up with, in other words?
It is so individual. And people say, when I walk into their homes, they say, well, you're going to make me get rid of everything. And I said, that's not my job. My job is to help you decide what you want to keep in the space so that it feels good for you. And that's not, I don't live in that space. I can't make that judgment. When there's a shared space, you know, a playroom among kids, and they both have to help decide, and mom and dad have to decide what's an acceptable level, a shared bedroom, shared spaces like kitchens, we have to come to a compromise on those, because there's no right or wrong. It's just what works for that particular person and that particular family.
Yeah. And is there kind of, if people are sort of like holding up an item and sort of saying, should I keep this? Should I not keep this? Is there kind of something that you would sort of say to them, you know, as a question that they might pose to decide?
Oh, That is a really great question. So there's actually three that organizers around the world use, and they're so helpful. With every object, when you're deciding whether or not to keep it, to toss it, to donate it, we ask, do you need it? Do you love it? Do you use it? And if you can answer yes to all three of those questions, it's something you use, it's something you need, and it's something you love, those are things that we want to have in our homes. If you answer no, it's not something that you're using, you don't really need it, and you don't particularly love it, why is that taking up space in your room? It opens that question. And by answering those three questions, people can get good insight into what makes sense to have in their space.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, because I know a few things that I might have pulled out of my closet before. I've held it up and gone, I haven't worn this in probably 3 or 4 years, but it does have sentimental value. But how much now is that sentimental value sort of to me? Previously in the past, it might have been a bit more because it was fresher, you know, from the event or something. But later on, I know I've actually, further along the track, I've actually, you know, said, yep, that can go now, because it had sentimental value, but not as much as what it did at the time. So,
and I'm glad you brought up sentimentality, because that's a great example of how we are mentally connected to this physical stuff, right? We feel emotion when we see a physical thing. We feel grief or joy or remembrance. And that's exactly what this connection is, that, you know, if it were just a piece of clothing, then it would be very easy to let go of. But because there's meaning behind it, it makes it so much harder. And people experience this with all different types of things. It could be memorabilia that your kids, you know, the cards that your kids have made for you. It could be items that you inherited from your parents. It could be things that you made or achieved when you were younger. And these all have different attachments for us, and we feel differently about letting go of them, because it's not just about the thing. The thing is the reminder of us, to us, of this bigger part of our lives.
Yeah. And it's kind of interesting you bring that up too, because I know I had a lot of sort of memorabilia and that from when I was a kid, but since I've had my own children, I've been able to let more of my stuff go, maybe because I've got their stuff to keep instead. So yeah, it is really interesting.
And that speaks to to organizing being a process instead of a project, right? Because if it were a project, you would go through that memorabilia once and you'd be done. But as your life changes, as you have children and they grow and you see more value in what they've made for you than maybe things from your own childhood, it allows you to let more stuff go. So that's part of that process of when you reevaluate and you come back to things, they feel different at a different point in your life. They have different uses, different needs, and you have different loves at different points in your life. So that's part of that cycle as well.
Yeah. And that's probably something I haven't thought about before when it comes to organizing. You kind of just think it's like I've got to do a clean out and I've got to get rid of that. But sort of, as you said, it really, when you think about it, it really is that process. I just hadn't sort of processed it into that before. So yeah, really interesting. Now, I know you have a book behind the closed door. Can you tell us a little bit more about your book?
Sure. So as I was working with these clients and realizing that this emotion was mixed into the work that we were doing, I was finding that the people that were drawn to me in particular as an organizer were also people who were in therapy, and they were very honest about working with therapists. And these were the best clients, because I was able to work with them in their home on the physical things, but these emotions like sentimentality would come up in our sessions. And as an organizer, I'm not really in the place to help them through that emotion, but therapists are. So I was able to say, you know, this is coming up in our session. Why don't you bring that feeling to your therapist, and then you can work through there? And they would do that. And then they'd come back to our next organizing session and have such a clear focus, because they've worked through the mental attachment, the emotion that they had to the work that we were doing. So I started seeing this connection that therapy and organizing worked really well together. But I was finding that therapists really didn't know what organizers do. So I wrote this book for therapists in particular to say, hey, you know, there's this hands-on frontline group of people who are working with your clients and can help you have better success with them as well. And although it's written for therapists and mental health professionals, it's a very easy read and talks about the emotional connection that people have to their things, why we feel that sense of need for control in our environment. And then it talks about some of those main and very common feelings that people have about their stuff: sense mentality, grief, overwhelm, fear. What if I let go of this? What if I need it in the future? What if so-and-so wants this in 5 years and then, you know, I'm holding it on to it for them. So it goes into some of those emotions and talks about how organizers deal with those things, and then gives the reader some insight into tactics that they can use in their own lives when they feel those emotions coming up.
Yeah, I think that's great, because I think, you know, there might be, maybe it's my perception, but there might be a bit of a stigma out there that, you know, people sort of say, oh, you're being a bit silly, like you should just be able to get rid of things. And, right, you know, talking about that emotional connection, that, you know what, maybe sometimes people do need help. And yes, they do need to see a therapist. And maybe they hadn't considered that before because, you know, somebody in their life's like, you should just be able to throw it out. So thank you for sharing that, because I know it's not something, like, my perception is that a lot of people, you know, they've said to me in the past, oh, you're being silly holding on to that. You know, you should just be able to throw it out. But yeah, there is sometimes a really big emotional attachment, and sometimes we might need extra help to process that.
Absolutely. And I think it's important for therapists to realize that they may be working with clients who are exhibiting very common mental health diagnoses, such as, you know, depression and anxiety, which are so prevalent worldwide, that how their clients' homes look and feel might be impacting that depression and that anxiety. You know, if they're going home and feeling overwhelmed because the house is, you know, a mess, or they can't find things that they're looking for, that adds to the stress and anxiety and how they feel about themselves. So they're so interrelated. Why not bring them together so that they can, instead of hurting each other, they can help each other in making a better holistic environment?
Yeah. And I guess it might be part of the process too, that if you are working through, say, grief, maybe you've lost a loved one, and, you know, clearing out some of their things is obviously going to be really hard, but part of the process of dealing with some of those, you know, feelings and that experience as well. Mm-hmm. So exactly. Yeah, I can definitely sort of see how having that extra help and that, you know, sort of support network, whoever that may look like, could really help when you're clearing things out.
Absolutely. And, you know, even outside of working with a, you know, maybe a licensed therapist or something like that, even just a supportive friend that might help you with some of this decluttering and says, like, you know, it's okay to feel sad when you see this part of your past, or, you know, it's okay that you're upset that you have this many clothes in your closet. You're making steps to work on it now. So just acknowledging that the feeling that's going to come up with getting organized and decluttering, that makes a big difference and how we approach it.
Yeah. And if you are a friend and someone sort of says to you, you know, I'm thinking about doing a bit of a declutter, can you come around and help me? Is it something you should be like, yeah, I'm going to come around and I'm going to, you know, help you organize? Or, you know, should you really sort of take the lead, or sort of just sort of step back and be at that sort of secondary role?
I think it depends on the relationship with the person, but definitely, you know, if you're willing to help, then do it, because sometimes people just need that accountability. Like, someone else is coming over to help me and I'm going to spend 2 hours on this. That accountability can really motivate someone. There's even something called body doubling, that sometimes tasks just feel easier to do when someone else is just in the space with you, not necessarily, you know, doing hands-on, or, but just someone that you can talk out loud to and is there and is keeping you focused on your task. That can be a really helpful motivator as well. So body doubling, accountability, and let's not discount physical help, right? Organizing work is physically draining as well as mentally draining, but there's lifting and moving stuff out and getting rid of the rubbish and all that kind of stuff. So yes, let's take physical help when we can get it as well.
Yeah, I think we should all be putting our hands up if we can get it when we can, exactly. Especially in this day and age now. Now, if our listeners wanted to start to do some decluttering and organizing today, what's one thing that they could start with?
Absolutely. So I highly recommend having either a donation box or bag somewhere convenient. I keep mine in the bottom of my master closet in my bedroom. And it's just a place that when I come across something, whether it's a kitchen gadget or a piece of clothes or something my kids have outgrown, and it's still useful and I know I want to donate it, I just put it in that box. And knowing that those things have a place so they're not just floating around the house or, you know, getting shuffled past again in the closet is really helpful. It just starts removing them from the space. And then once that box is full, I can then take it to my local charity or whatever it might be. Some places, at least here in the US, do pickups at your home even. So just having that place to remove things as you come across them. Because how many times a day do you come across something and you're just like, I don't even use this anymore. This is just junk. This is just clutter. And if you just start making conscious effort to start removing those things, you'll at least be making progress without any real like timed effort. You know, it doesn't take any time to toss an extra piece of mail or pull something off the hanger and put it in the donation box. So those little steps can add up.
Yeah, well, we have one, we actually have a box in our garage, especially mm-hmm. as our girls have sort of started to get older. Like you said, there's older, you know, like baby toys and things that don't fit them anymore. So mm-hmm. we will just, you know, obviously make sure that they're washed and cleaned or whatever. And then they just end up in that box. And yeah, when it gets full, then we donate it. So
exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Works, it's pretty works easy. Really well.
Yeah.
Now, if listeners want to, you know, reach out, connect with you, where can they reach you?
Absolutely. So I'm on Facebook and you can reach me at my business name, which is Simple Spaces LLC on Facebook. And catch me on LinkedIn, which is Katie Tracy CPO.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on to the show and sharing so much amazing information. I know I've learned a few things. I'm sure listeners awesome. Will be taking it away as well. So thanks for coming on today, Katie.
Thanks for having me.
Hi, I'm Kate Boyle and welcome to the Mind Movement Health podcast. Each week, I'll be bringing you health information from diet and lifestyle to movement and nutrition. My aim is to bring you bite-sized pieces of information that you can instigate into your everyday life to change your health.